What's up, people? This is Adam Maxwell, and you're listening to the Guns, Oil, and Dirt podcast. Now get ready. It's showtime.
Hello, and welcome back to the Guns, Oil, and Dirt podcast. This is going to be part two with Jamie, because we just are going to keep talking. But we were just talking about ammo choices and the fact that I run that NC Star scope on this rifle. And we were just talking about that he's seen him places, right? You just said you've seen him.
Yeah, I've seen him around. I've seen ads and stuff like that, yeah.
Yeah, it's a bargain scope. I've ordered the last two off of Amazon. Like I said, Amazon, whatever.
Sure.
The first one I got at a gun show. And really? The guy who sold it to me with the lifetime warranty. He was like, oh, yeah, no, lifetime warranty, whatever. He's like, you ever have a problem with it? You know, he gave me a business card. He was probably long since out of business.
Sure.
probably not thinking I was going to hold on to that scope that long either. But the reality of it is like, I get a lot of people who tell me, like, NC Star's bargain stuff. It's garbage. It doesn't work. So this has fixed etched reticles. Mm-hmm. It's not just the dot that shows up. They do light up, but it's an etched reticle, so it's always there.
Sure.
Okay. And when it comes to stuff like that, it's like, unless realistically I drop or smash that scope, it should be pretty much there whenever it needs it. And as far as I've learned, everybody who talks shit is they could talk as much shit as they want. It's not true.
Well, or inexperienced. They haven't had one.
Well, people just talk shit for talking shit on the internet. But I've heard so much about people not liking them, or they're junk, they're cheap, they're this, they're that. Like I said, 12 years on a rifle. My wife can hit a quarter. I have targets. They're called troubleshooters. And they have squares on them that are 1 inch by 1 inch squares. So almost literally a quarter.
Right.
And I can pick what square on the sheet for her to shoot at 100 yards on her gun on a bench that has one of the original NC Star scope that I bought is on her rifle. And she could just pick which square because she shoots so accurately, she can cut the square out. Jeez. That she wants to, because she'll shoot it like 8 or 10 times and already that little 1 inch square is used up. So if she's shooting the bullseye, she'll cut the bullseye out and then I'll tell her to shoot at something else on the paper.
Right.
You know, and
it's pretty good.
Yeah. And for, you know, hers is on a $300 DPMS Oracle with a, you know, with a Muddy Girl camo kit on it and a bipod mount. And an NC Star 3-9. And the answer is nothing. None of it matters after that. Yeah. All the guff I get about, I go to 3-gun matches with DPMS Oracles that have, I change the gas blocks out and the triggers. But other than that, I'm running a $300 rifle. Because what else in that thing matters? You know, they're not pencil barrels.
Right.
They're whatever, decent barrels. They're not the shittiest barrel in the world. They're okay.
Right.
They're not great. They're not like this freaking thing here has got a heavy barrel. But what does it got to do? It's got to shoot 55 grain bullets up to 600 yards. And I don't have to be super accurate. I just have to be fast.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure.
If I'm shooting at a plate at 600 yards, the freaking thing's a torso.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's pretty big.
So...
Yeah, you're only asking it to do like 4 MOA, which at most anything can be capable of.
Well, yeah, the my answer to everybody every time is the gun is more than capable of the problem at hand, right? The downfall is me. It's not that the gun can't do it.
Sure.
I can't physically. Like, it's 600 yards of fucking torso without a scope, like, because I shoot irons at matches. Mm-hmm. I can't fucking see it.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah.
You know?
Especially I mean, if it's gray and buried into some like little green back brush and stuff.
Well, no, usually it's black with tree backdrop behind sure. it. It's all trees or something. And I'm running at matches. I run a carry handle with a freaking
right
A1 or A2 front sight post. So the front sight post blocks what I'm shooting at.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
And I'm using the freaking tiny little ghost sight on the back of a carry handle. So realistically, I can't see what I'm shooting at. I'm covering it
right.
with my sight and then hoping the round gets there. You know?
Hoping the round gets there. Well, it'll go there. 55 well, grain will get there.
Yeah, but the problem is with my windage for elevation, you know, I end up with the front sight so freaking high above the rear, I'm not seeing it. I mean, I'm blocking right. it with yeah. the barrel. So that's what shooting competitions are like for me. And we have conversations about it with other guys, but it's like they don't have the same problems I have. Are you gonna shoot a moose?
Yeah, it's not a moose, it's a bull. Apparently an extinct bull. I think that's a picture of it.
It looks like water buffalo.
Well, it does because it's in the water, but I mean to look at them, they don't look much different than most cattle. And since I mean,
actually, honestly, it looks like a buffalo plowed a cow.
it kind of does.
Yeah.
Since they've been extinct since the 1600s, essentially, there's nothing but like depictions. There's no real pictures of them. Nobody, you know, maybe some drawings.
What is it called again?
Auroch. Yeah. Auroch would be a singular. Aurochs and it would be plural, I believe.
Auroch.
Auroch.
Okay.
Yeah. I think, I'm not smart, so it has something to do with, like, it's an original, Latin, like, verbiage would be taurus or something like that. So taurus and auroch was, like, sort of the same word. I don't know the whole
thing. All right. Yeah. Taurus.
Yeah.
I can see that.
But, yeah, again, I'm not a smart person. So we're just going to let that one float around.
Yeah, you're just a crayon eater, aren't you?
Well, guy gets hungry. You don't. But think about it. All the colors of the rainbow.
Oh, yeah. Rainbows. Yeah.
Yes.
That is where I get somewhat upset that the gay community took the rainbow and made it a gay thing.
Because then people can't enjoy crayons?
Rainbows are supposed to be for everybody, bro. Just like firearms, right? They're for everybody.
Absolutely.
So you're going on a auroch hunt?
I don't think it'll be much of a hunt.
The
way I'm told, you know what I mean? Because the only one I've gotten to see so far was
you've only through seen a one. Fence. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, though. He was not a happy camper.
Okay.
He's snorting at us and throwing dirt. And he started some of the bison. There's bison in this pen, fence, cage, field. It's I don't know how big the field is, hundreds of acres. The bison were starting to come up. They wanted to get in there. There's like some shade there, and I guess that's what they're looking for. And he started bugling. It sounded like bugling like an elk. That's what it sounded like.
Oh, all right.
But like you could hear him snorting, and he is snorting so hard. Like every time he'd do it, he shot a little bit of poo out. Like. And it was just.
Are you sure he was snorting or he wasn't constipated?
Could have been sneezing hard, but yeah, he would not. He was not happy. And he was like, you know, you ever see the videos and stuff, or like the cartoons when the bulls get mad at the matadors and they're throwing dirt and stuff.
Yeah, or like if you ever watch like bison do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Watched enough of that.
Doing all that, it was pretty wild. So, like, he was out there by himself. He didn't like people getting out of the truck. Granted, we were, you know, 30-some yards probably from him. And wife was taking pictures. The truck, he probably wouldn't have cared too much about, I guess. But something about people getting out of it. It should be fun.
The answer is he had a bad experience.
Probably. Somebody, yeah.
Some vet somewhere got out of a truck and poked him in the butt with a needle.
It could. I don't. And that's hard to say. I guess like they're not handled. They're, you know, the moms, like the, you know, when the cow's birth, he says that nobody messes with them, and they're brutal about keeping them away from people. They're about as wild as like
as you can get.
Yeah, and like I said, it's big acreage.
Yeah.
And well, it's probably was the, so I'm told it's the only Auroch mix in the Western Hemisphere.
Okay.
So there's probably some. I think they started what they call back breeding again. So a lot of different sites and stuff, a lot of different, like a little bit of research, and not everything's going to be consistent. So long and short, that they started what they call back breeding, like in Austria, but they've been essentially extinct since the 1600s. And they just, I guess this guy bought embryos and impregnated it, or, you know, implanted them into, you know, a normal cattle. A few of them were born, and then just they've been basically breeding them for their colors and size and stuff since then. So, yeah, but it should be fun. He says they don't like people, they don't like anything, and he wants me to do it with my arrow. So I was like, yeah, of course I'm going to use my bow. You know,
yeah,
why wouldn't I?
Because you're a big tough man.
Well, I don't know, or just dumb.
Yeah, so. that sounds pretty cool, actually. Well, if you talk to him and you get an opportunity or need a second guy there,
yeah,
I'll definitely bring a bow. I'll show up and give that a whack.
Yeah, but we got to bring the horses still.
Yeah, I can get horse. That's not actually the hardest part of the situation.
Yeah, no.
I can get a hold of a couple of horses and ride, but like you said, we could just bring a couple trucks.
Well, that's what he wants. He wants a truck there. So, you know, I'm guessing what he's wanting me to do is just make that shot. And if it turns toward me, get in the bed, and he can peel out.
Peel out. Run to the truck.
Yeah. What I'm hoping for is that shot, and it's a bit confused for like 3 or 4 of the about 8 seconds it's going to take. And as it charges, I can make one, maybe just get one move off to the side and let it drop. Yeah. And not have to get in the bed. Then I can feel victorious, you know. Like,
yeah, and you can have like a Dances with Wolves moment.
Yeah, like I didn't have to get in that truck.
Yeah, where it runs at you and you're all like, nope, you're dead.
Yeah, you'll hit the ground at my feet.
Yeah. What broadheads are you using right now?
Right now, I'm not the ones I'm going to shoot at that thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, because honestly,
I passed through, I shot a steer about 9 years ago. And pass through.
Yeah?
Yeah, I had a two blade. I can't remember which ones they are now. I can't. They weren't.
Mechanical?
They were not mechanical. It's no.
Fixed.
Yeah, definitely fixed blade. The longer the blade, like the longer the taper on them, and a two blade, you get better penetration.
Yeah.
You know? So that's the point, is to get really good penetration. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like when the bull is about as wide as a VW.
Yeah,
you want to get some depth in there. You want to at least get to the heart. Well,
and that was kind of like the thought process I was going with, is you're going to want something fixed, I don't want to say narrow, but I mean
like a longer, a
shallow
taper.
Yeah, shallow taper.
Yeah,
you know, something with some. And you were using a two blade.
That's what I shot the steer with.
A flat.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
I forgot what company. We sell some at the store, but I would literally try like a three blade myself, something like a hypodermic or something.
Well, that's I think the hypodermic says, oh boy, I can't even remember who made that.
Oh,
That's a
mechanical, isn't it? Is it?
Yeah. Oh. I think so. I honestly haven't bought, I went through a spell where I had like my little brothers and other people and stuff that I was like setting up arrows and stuff and bow sets and stuff. And my little brothers didn't have heavy poundage at the time. They were young. So I had, and still have so many broadheads. I haven't bought a broadhead in probably 10 years. I have so many of them, and I feel like I'm wasting them just sitting there.
I don't have any broadheads in here.
But yeah, I've got so many leftover broadheads that like I'm kind of trying to run through them before I go and buy any more, but I'll have to get more before I do this.
I'd probably only pull 55, 60 pounds.
Yeah. And that's not too big a deal. I mean, mine's at 72.
Yeah.
It's been there since the day I bought it, and whenever I test it, it's still at 72. That's what's, I don't know, it hasn't lost anything yet. pretty wild. Usually you get some string stretch and stuff down the road, and it just hasn't, so.
Oh, yeah. It actually, usually you get a bunch of it at the beginning as the string breaks in.
Sure.
And then after a while, it should
pretty
much settle and then until you break one, and then you start back from square one again.
Yeah.
But
I've had strings blow up on me.
I thankfully have not. I've watched a number of guys dry fire bros and blow up strings and limbs. I'm yet to do one. I'm slightly afraid to do it, though, just because
it doesn't look pricey.
Well, it doesn't look fun.
No, it's not.
Yeah. Nope. This thing I could blow up. It's like a $400.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
So, honest to God, I could blow that up and not really care. That was the whole point. But it was the shortest axle to axle when I bought it.
Oh.
And that's what I was going for, a small bow for a tighter area that I was shooting in. So I didn't want to, like, I've seen it happen where guys, they pull back their bows, they release them, and, like, one of the cams will hit, like, a branch or something.
Or the
and
top you of the, will. They'll be in a blind and hit the blind.
Yeah. And so it'll just wreck things. And so I was going for a smaller axle to axle. And people, again, it comes with people's opinions where they say something about, like, you know, longer axle to axle, less vibration, this, that, and the other. Because of the shortness of whatever you want to call it, the bow, it's at a harder angle.
Pinches the knock more. It get a little harder to stay consistent with it.
Yeah. Well, my limbs are at a little bit steeper of an angle just to give it that extra goose.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, I shoot my bow's pretty long axle to axle. I think it was 34 and a half or something like that. I've had it for a few years and I haven't really looked into it. But
I think that one's 28.
28, yeah.
Yeah.
I've been around. I've shot bows. Like, I shot bows way more than I've shot firearms.
Okay.
And because I don't really like hunt with firearms. I hunt with my bow.
Mm-hmm.
I've killed more things with my recurve. So with the exclusion of maybe squirrels and prairie dogs, it's like that. If you take that big game wise, I've killed way more things with bows, and then really nothing with rifles, actually.
Oh, I'm the exact opposite. I am yet to kill anything with a bow that wasn't a rabbit or a squirrel.
Yep.
And then, all my big game has been with
rifles. Shotguns.
Rifle, shotguns. I've killed more things with a shotgun than pretty much anything else I've ever. I've probably only shot like four deer with a rifle, three or four deer. I bet you I five or six with a shotgun.
Yeah. Oh, deer. I take that back. I did shoot one pig with a rifle.
Oh, all right.
Just recently, too. I forgot about that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Where did that happen?
In the head.
No.
In Michigan.
Okay. In the head. Right.
Yeah, it was pretty quick.
That's pretty terrible, actually. In the head, no.
Yeah, no, it didn't suffer.
Yeah.
I don't think it was conscious when it hit the ground, so.
God, yeah. That's one thing I got to do. I want to try and get up north. I was just another guy I kind of work with, not exactly work with. Same company, different district. So we chat. But he said he has some land up north. And this guy, I'm mad at him out of envy.
Mm-hmm.
He told me he gets like 3 bear a year.
What?
Yeah. And he says they probably shoot, personally, he said 20 plus deer because it's his farm.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like
nuisance tags.
Well, yeah. I mean, everything up there is a nuisance to him.
No, sure.
Well, you know, that's what I said too. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, yeah, you get to shoot. He's like, fucking bears on my land. A bear's on my land.
Yeah.
He's like, I shoot the fucker. And I said that. I was like, yeah, but like you can invite us over to do this.
Yeah. Have Bo will travel.
Yeah. Right. I want to do the, I got to get like a 10 mil.
Right. The pistol.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I want to try a bear.
That's what I'm looking for. That's probably the one.
He's since we're on a recording, you guys can't see it. He's showing me a picture of the bull that he's going to potentially.
Yeah, ideally.
Have to eradicate.
Yes. Yeah, because he's an asshole.
For this, yeah, for this guy, for this guy on this guy's property. But.
I don't know what else he's got in this picture. But yeah, the.
They look like a female over there.
There's something over there. So he's got a herd bull and then the lesser bull. I don't remember which one, if this is probably the lesser one, because he said that lesser one's a dick. Tore up fences and stuff, and he's not been friendly at all. And they had him separated for something, and this thing thought he had the opportunity to get in there and be Big Daddy. So he ripped two fences down to get back to the herd.
Yeah.
And they were just like, well, get out of the way. Because, like, there's no stuff. I mean, you know how it is. You got an 1,800-pound animal. What are you going to do with it? Tell him, just sit down.
Eat it.
Yeah, well, okay, but it's going to take an arrow to do that.
Yeah. We eat it. And we're gonna turn it into burger. I don't
know. Yeah, well, there'll be some burger.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's cool as shit, though. You get a lot of hunting done. I wish I did more hunting. I spend a lot of time at work.
You know the unfortunate part is?
You spend a lot of time at work?
Yeah, I just did a couple, like, 80-some hours back-to-back. Oh, that's not true. I did 84 or something. Then I did, like, a short week because I went on that vacation, yeah. You know. And then I did another 80-hour last week. 80-some, 82 or something like that.
Yeah.
But
I think I did 45 last week. I'm super pissed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wish I could...
You want a couple of mine?
Yeah, I'll take 2 16s off of you any day of the week.
That'll work. That put me right in the neighborhood of not so bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not going to take away a full 40 hours a week, but I could probably take away like 24 to 30. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I told the wife because I had to do one day all in the rain, and I had 57 hours of overtime this week.
Oh, what?
Yeah. It's like we're forced to work in the rain. Like it's basically that's your bonus.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so, no, as far as hunting goes, a lot of that pig was hardly hunting. It was like just going to get some meat. And then prairie dogs isn't really hunting either. Like you're pretty much just sitting there and shooting live targets. So I call that a pig shoot and prairie dog shooting. Like hunting is so different.
You could say that, but when you're the guy who never gets to go, I'll accept anything.
Yeah, okay.
You know, like when people tell me they're going duck hunting, like, so you're going to go sit in a fucking boat and wait for shit to fly over you and you're just going to smoke them. Like, I mean, it's all the same to me too.
Sure.
But, I mean, at this point, just going hunting for me, I would be happy. Deer tags went up for sale this week and everybody jumped in for their bonus does.
Yeah.
All my buddies were like, oh, bonus doe day, bonus doe day.
Yeah.
You know, and I didn't buy any tags at all. So, because I'm not going to go.
Yeah.
I got nowhere to hunt right now.
All kinds of public land around here. You don't mind bumping shoulders with guys.
Well, I
or
guess.
People walking their dogs or.
The reality of it is I could sack up, grab my bow, and take a day and go after work or something.
Yeah.
But the reality.
There's not really anywhere in between, but yeah.
No, bong.
Yeah, bong's tough. You gotta get special or whatever the other permits are to get in there. I think
a bong permit.
Just a state forest tag, you know, for your car and all that. Yeah.
No. You mean the thing that's in my window already?
Well, if you've got one, then you're golden.
Because I freaking buy one almost every year. Yeah. It seems like because I go into the state parks.
Well, good.
State park tags.
Wife does. I don't go in there very often. Mm. Not for any reason other than I just don't.
Yeah, I seems like a couple times a year I don't know, I just go.
Yeah.
So having one of those. I got a buddy of mine who used to work at Bong who's a good guide.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I know where to be, and he told me he'd fucking take me in with him and scout it out. I just never do, you know, because he worked there for years, and he's like, yeah, no, he's like, I know like a real good spot and take you over like back and away from where the guys are pheasant hunting and shit like that, because he said those guys are like always in there.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
the pheasants are always there. Yeah.
Yeah,
the pheasant guys. Yeah.
Yeah, the pheasant guys. They're either actually hunting or they're just walking around.
Yeah.
In that area.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, scouting or whatever they do.
Letting their dogs run around.
Yeah, letting their dogs run around. But there's some spots there that he said are pretty quiet, and you can get back to them. He's like, you know, if you can get back there where there's not a spot on barn that you can't get back to, you just have to be willing to do it.
Right. Right.
But my thing is, though, is because I am, the way I am, I wanted to try, still till this day, I still want to try and get out to a couple of the islands on the Wisconsin River.
Yeah.
And hunt those, because they're not, private.
Pressured.
Yeah. A lot of people don't do it.
Right.
And they're, it's public. Mm-hmm. Land, especially if you go up by like Peatonwell area, and you can kind of hop island to island, and if the deer wants to get away from you, he's got to swim.
Yeah, I suppose.
Because I've been duck hunting on those islands, and sometimes I see more deer than I do ducks when I'm like island hopping, because I've done it since I was a kid. I haven't been hunting since I was a kid, but we used to just go up there and do it. So that was, man. See, and that's the thing. I got to call my old man. I miss that shit. Just call up the old man and be like, hey, you want to just go duck hunting again? Yeah, like we used to when I was a kid. He's retiring this year, so maybe next year it'll be a good year for him. Because what is that? Spring?
Spring. It's one of the seasons.
Yeah. No, I mean duck season.
Oh, I don't know. Duck season is fall.
Fall?
Yeah. I don't do a lot of birds. the only birds I can think of in a spring would be like...
Turkey.
Turkey, yeah.
Spring turkey. Dove. That's,
is there a dove in it?
I think there's a dove season.
I don't know.
I'll have to look it up. Read the book.
Yeah.
Read the manual.
Yep.
But, yeah. There's definitely got to go out, got to start doing that stuff again, because I'm starting to sound like Rain Man.
About $100.
Yeah. No, definitely not my underwear. It's not from Walmart. Definitely not. Get my underwear from Walmart. Wow, man. I'm such a dipshit. Sometimes I might as well just be
Rain. Yeah, well, no, I understand that.
But yeah. No, I fucking definitely got to go hunting more. Got to come out. Got to do a pig hunt myself one of these days, years.
Yeah.
Been trying to get my old man to go to one of those with me. And I got to do fly-in fishing in Canada.
Yeah, it's worth it.
Got to do that one of these years. When you go fishing, do you use a company?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah. So basically, there's actually the people that own the company that we fly from, the lodge. They're Americans too, and I guess, and I probably don't have it all right, but it's long and short, it's like a lease. They've like leased the property where they have the cabins.
No,
like a 99-year lease.
Oh, all right. Well, I was just gonna ask you if you had their number.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll have to get that from you, because I gotta get the old man out and do some fishing and do it right one of these years.
Yeah, they're good. They're a pretty good show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah. I mean, I recommend them, if that makes any difference, but yeah.
Well, between you and me, yeah, that makes a difference.
Yeah.
From me to you, that's all I need to hear.
Yeah.
So.
Fishing's good.
Fishing's good.
They're on Great Lakes. Not the Great Lakes, just Great Lakes.
Yeah.
The one thing is, I think the growing season's a bit short. It's on the water, and everything tends to stay on the cold side. So the chances of you catching like a 30-plus walleye are not probably great, but you can catch lots of 25s.
Yeah.
You know, plenty of eatable ones. And I say that on purpose, not edible. Like, they're all edible in a manner, but eatable as in the fact that, like, so they're, you have to be like 18 and a quarter, something like 47 centimeters.
Yeah.
Or less. So that's like 18 and a quarter inches.
Or less. 18 or less.
Because that's like their 3 to 5 year olds. That's that 18 inches, like your 3 to 5 year olds in their waters. And those are the 3 to 5 year olds are the breeders. And that's how they keep a healthy population.
As they keep the...
They leave the breeders in there and you have to keep... Oh. So like those younger ones, like the 1, 2 year olds, there's, you picture them like a pyramid, there's gabillions of these 1 and 2 year olds, you know, and then as they die off naturally and get, you know, predators get them or whatever the case might be, you know, there's getting less and less you get up the pyramid. As you get the old ones, there's not so many of them.
Yeah, the breeder. So, yeah, I get that. Yeah.
It's like, so they keep the breeders. And then as they get like the 6, 7, 8 year olds, they don't breed so much, I guess. Mm-hmm. And... You know, then they, but they're just big and they eat.
Mm.
So.
Yeah. I could see that.
Yeah. So the idea is to take the pre-breeders, you know, and not millions of them, you know, just a safe amount.
Mm.
Unlike some of the here, like, they want you to take, you know, you get some of your trophy lakes around here and they won't let you keep anything pre-breeders. The problem is you don't ever get any of those trophies because they never get that big. The lake becomes stunted.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, oh, you can't keep a northern unless it's 45 inches. You're like, well, this lake can't even support a 45-inch northern. You're never going to have one in here because all you have is thousands and millions of 24-inch northern that are never going to get any bigger.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so, yeah, because they're only going to grow to the size that the lake can sustain them at.
Yeah. No, if you take out... You know, and they, you know, they put an 8 or a 10 inch minimum on panfish, a 20-some inch minimum on the bass and stuff like that. And you never, like, those are all bigger than your breeders. So all they're going to do is continue breeding and never have enough to grow beyond that, beyond those, like, barely beyond those minimums. So what you're going to end up with is piles and piles and piles of these smaller pre-breeder fish or just barely breeder fish and never any of these trophies.
That's kind of interesting. I guess it makes sense to me, though, because, you know, fish tanks.
Exactly. That's, you know, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. We have my dad when we were growing up, we always used to put, I was telling you this earlier. So we'd go fishing and we'd bring the minnows home.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of whatever, killing them or whatever you do, he would just dump them in the fish tank.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we used to have like goldfish in there, too. Well, the minnows were smaller than the goldfish would just eat the minnows.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, fish pretty much eat anything. Like they have they'll tend toward things, but sure.
Yeah. Except for every once in a while we'd get like the large shiners.
Yeah.
And they're already 4 inches long or whatever. So right. I'd end up with a freaking 8-inch long goldfish because he's going to grow to the size that the food will sustain him at and the tank will sustain him at.
Sure.
And then like 6, 8-inch freaking shiners.
Mm-hmm.
Living in my stupid fish tank.
You can't take them out. Well, you could. You know, you put them, take them out in the winter. Scoop them out of there and put them on tip-ups in the winter. People would do things
like that. Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't. I don't fish with minnows, really.
But, well, I do.
Yeah.
In the winter. But, yeah, and then we just end up with these oversized. Ended up with a freaking, like, 13-inch catfish. One of the suckers.
Yeah.
You know, that you buy at the store.
Yeah.
Whatever, well, he got to like 6, 8 inches long and he decided that he was going to eat everything in his tank. And he ate every other fish in that tank, you know, over time.
Mm-hmm.
And then we kept dumping shiners in there after we'd go fishing and he would just start eating those slowly. And next thing you know, I got 13-inch freaking catfish basically in the bottom of my tank that was stupid little sucker that we bought that was like 2 inches long from the store. Because, I mean, we had a 55-gallon fish tank.
That's a good size.
Yeah. So, I mean, you could grow in that tank. Mm-hmm. And the fish had room to do what they wanted to.
Sure.
And they would just grow until they couldn't sustain themselves, and then they would die.
Right.
And then we'd shuck them. But it was funny. I also had a brother. I have a brother. Not had. He's still my brother. But I don't know if he still does this, but he used to take, he used to get like little perch or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he would throw them in his fish tank. and grow them to really? Be like massive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then eat them.
Yeah, or put them back in the lake.
Well, all that work, you know, you put all that effort and work in here, you should get that meal.
Yeah.
You know, when they say you can keep a fish, they don't say that you have to necessarily eat it.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I don't know if you're supposed to keep them as pets.
Yeah.
There's probably some bylaw, but you know.
You know what? Cabela's does it.
Yeah, where do they get those?
From the breeder.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But, yeah. How many times have you heard stories about people catching like catfish out of dirty rivers? I mean, like real dirt, not like they're nasty rivers, but like real silty rivers, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And they'll put them in like a kiddie pool in clear water for a day or two until they, like, you know, filter out all their, you know, all the silt and stuff like that. And then, you know, then they essentially just, you know, gave them a big bath.
Yeah.
Like, why couldn't you just grow a fish like that?
You can.
I don't see why not.
Well, so I wanted to put a pond in out back.
Sure.
And I was going to stock that freaking thing with perch.
Yeah.
But I was going to call the guy and have him stock it.
Right.
But then I wanted to make like a 10x8 pond back there and just have it be stocked with perch all the time.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
That would be awesome.
Right? Just be like a fridge or a freezer in the winter.
Yeah, or my dream, but I can't because I don't have the money.
It's trout. Stupid money.
Trout.
You like trout that much or you just like to watch them?
Well, I like eating trout that much.
Yeah.
But my favorite thing about trout, I don't have to skin them to eat them.
It's not as much work. So
yeah. Well, there's no scaling.
Right.
You gut them, you fry them.
Yeah.
Trout's done. Like, yep. That's the whole game right there because catfish, I really like eating catfish, but the problem is sometimes it's a pain in the ass to skin them.
Yeah.
You know? I have to watch for things that could kill me.
Yeah.
You know, like who wants that? I want a fish that I could literally take it, zipper it, pull the stuff out, and literally roll it right into a thing of flour and drop it in the fryer.
Yeah. Make you want. Ooh, you know what? Speaking of that, I'm having salmon tonight.
You're having salmon tonight?
I think so.
I'm making pork chops.
Dang. I've only got a few pork chops. I ground an entire pig.
Okay.
Yeah. Like we brought two pigs back. You know? The one I shot and the one my friend shot, I traded the one my kid shot to him because I didn't want a 500 some pound pig.
Okay.
And I didn't want to have to deal with all of it. And my friend says, I'll take it. I don't care.
You can call a guy.
What's that?
You can call a guy.
Well, but we're all going to each have one pig, right? Did I not offer you a pig? Didn't I say I was shooting pigs? Do you want one?
I didn't even know you were going to shoot pigs. Last I talked to you, you were shooting prairie dogs.
Maybe that might be true. Thing came about pretty quick.
Yeah, that's why. Well, like I said, it's not a big deal. You know, it's really great though about ground pork.
Yeah, you can do everything with it.
Well, you can do all sorts of stuff. One of my favorite things with ground pork is I mix it with ground venison, make breakfast sausage. Yeah, it's one of my favorite things in the world. Pork and,
fatty breakfast sausage.
Yep. Yeah. My venison breakfast sausage. That ends up being venison.
Pork.
Yeah, it ends up being venison that I eat with everything for like a month. Yeah.
I just had some of that bacon this morning.
Yeah?
From the pigs we shot, yeah.
That's good.
It was good. I put it in pancakes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Bacon pancakes. Megan actually and I just had this conversation about doing battered bacon. So you make your pancake mix, okay, and then you cook your bacon, pre-cook it.
Mm-hmm.
And then just
slices,
yeah,
I assume, yeah.
As slices and just dip it in the batter and then
fry it. Right in the bacon fat, of course.
Fry it again, yes.
Dang. That's
so it's literally just a strip of bacon that's coated slightly in pancake batter and then fried for the second time.
Yeah, delicious.
Yeah.
But, I mean, nothing but a heart attack waiting to happen. But
is that true?
Yeah.
Is that true?
I don't know.
I've heard that it lubricates the arteries.
Well, I don't know. You eat enough of it, it definitely lubricates those farts we were talking about.
Well, I'm just saying, I have a whole thing of research from this guy who was telling me that.
Lubricates the arteries.
Well, no, that he has a diet they call, think it's like paleo carnivore.
Okay.
So if they didn't have it, like he goes back like 500 or 600 years.
Mm-hmm.
If it wasn't something you could eat 600 years ago, he won't eat it. Okay. So before all the processed stuff and everything was in things, so he literally just eats like, and he goes back to like his ancestry, what they would have ate 600-700 years ago, as far as food wise, and he says things like he's like it's a lot of red meat, it's a lot of fish.
Sure, okay? Yeah, definitely gonna be a lot of fish.
Yeah, but he's like it's, you know, they had pigs back then that were farmed.
Mm-hmm.
They had chicken back then that was farmed. They had cows back then, it was farmed, right? And he goes, but they didn't have GMOs. They didn't have Cheetos. They didn't have any of this stuff. And he's talking about, he's like, this is how he eats. And he had, at one point, he was very sick. This whole diet, sure, that he's on got started because he had cancer.
Okay.
And they said, like, he only had, like 8 months to live. They were like, yeah, you're not going to make it, blah, 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 blah. So he switched to this diet because what happens is cancer feeds on sugars in your body.
Okay.
And so he basically went to eating nothing but meat and greens. Like literally meat and greens. No processed anything. He runs his own farm so he can.
Sure.
Grows all the animals that he eats. That way they don't get any processed anything in their diet. He does like it only works for him because he doesn't have to work.
Right.
He's a very wealthy guy and he doesn't have to.
And he basically creates his own food source.
Yes.
Like all
of his own food source. And he lives on a farm, creates his own food, sells some of it. Fully sustained, self-sustaining human being.
Right.
All
right.
But I mean, he had to work very hard to become very rich to be able to do this.
Sure.
But
probably half the reason he got into health issues to start with.
Well, the lifestyle that you are forced to live while you're, the way we do.
Sure.
Because I'm sure stopping to get fucking cheeseburgers twice a week isn't the best idea in the world either.
Not.
But if you eat clean, this is what this guy's talking about. Even though he's eating cheeseburgers, it's clean.
Right.
You know, he's not eating the 30,000 ingredient shit that we eat.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he has no cancer. He's been cancer free for like 8 years or something like that.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, the whole thing, because it had nothing to live on inside of him anymore.
That's wild.
Yeah. Like he did all this stuff and all this research into it. But he had countless people telling him that he was going to die from cholesterol issues.
Sure.
Like, oh, you're going to die eating eggs and meat and all this stuff. And he goes, he's like, yeah, but you're not. You're just not.
I mean, sooner or later, you're probably going to still die.
No, you're going to die. But he goes, he's like, I'm not going to die from high cholesterol. I'm not going to die from, he's like, I might have a heart attack.
Sure.
But it'll be a stress-induced heart attack. It's not going to be like a cholesterol-induced heart attack. Because he goes to the doctor now and all of his numbers are good. He goes, your body can take care of it as long as you don't have the 50,000 other things it has to filter out.
Right.
You know, he goes, if you're ingesting meat, just meat, not with GMOs, not with byproducts, not with this, just meat, he goes, your body can handle it. And the thing is this guy's at a very healthy weight.
Sure.
You know?
Right.
But he also works very hard on a farm and lots of other stuff. But they're saying that, like, he's like, no, it doesn't have to, you don't have to be, get a heart attack because you want to eat bacon. He goes, he's like, I eat bacon all the time. He goes, you just got to not eat, bacon rolled in GSG, MSG.
Yeah.
You know, because he still makes flavored bacon.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Because he makes it with honey from his own bees, from his own farm.
Sure.
And he said, he's like, you don't miss it. He goes, I have maple syrup.
He goes, but it's real maple syrup.
Yeah. He's like, I get maple trees and tap them. And he's like, yeah, I have syrup. He goes, he's like, all this stuff. He's like, you don't need it.
Yeah.
He's like, guess what's in my maple syrup? You know? He goes,
tree sauce.
Yeah, tree and water.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, yeah, yeah. You know, and he's like, he, but he's got ponds on his property and he grows his own fish.
Right.
He like does all this crazy stuff and it's really insane. He's a really cool guy.
Who was that?
I don't want to say it.
Oh, okay. Aloud, yeah. Because I'll talk, man, how did I miss that? Okay,
I'll talk to you later about it.
Sure.
Off the recording because he's also the type of guy who would sue me.
Okay.
for bringing his name up probably. Okay, sure. So I've talked to him once or twice, but he's it's one of the reasons why he's so successful is he's a ruthless businessman.
Well,
so if people, you know, if you say his name or whatever, you could.
Poor guy. What would he get if he sued you, though?
Well, he's not getting anything out of me, but it would cause me a headache if he fucking did it. He's not getting shit out of me. I'm broke as shit. But he's a smart guy. He was one of the guys who talks about the reason why I have so many. He talks about multiple income streams all the time.
Sure.
Never stop earning. He was also one of the reasons why I started this podcast.
Oh.
Because he said he makes something like $600,000 a year off of podcasting.
Wow.
That's why I said like he can make my life hard. He has the money. He has the ability. Not only does he have the money, but he's also smart.
Sure.
Really smart. So he could hurt things if he wants to.
Mm-hmm.
Not that he seems like he's a bad guy. I just, he could do whatever he wanted to. He could.
Sure.
But he's always been cool when I've talked to him before.
Sure.
And like not met, but like, online, mm-hmm. like chatted and stuff. Mm-hmm. He's a good guy. He's a cool guy. He's a good guy, but I don't know him.
Right.
So I don't trust saying anything.
Right. No, but it's understandable.
Yeah. But he's pretty interesting. But yeah, he's always talking about like multiple income streams, find ways to make the big one was make your property make money for you instead of just being a money drain.
Well, right, like taxes and stuff like that.
Yeah, but I mean he said everybody's property drains money away from them. He goes, you have to find ways to make your property work for you. And that's why like he lives in an area where he's like allowed to farm technically,
mm-hmm.
but also, you know, it's not a full blown farm.
Right. Sort of like we can own chickens where I live, but still can't really own chickens where I live.
Yeah. But we can, like, you can own chickens where I live,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not allowed, according to the town, I'm not allowed to sell the eggs. I'm not allowed to have any sort of farm or produce stand because I'm not an ag. Yeah. Zoning.
Okay.
Okay.
But, okay. It works.
I can barter with you for some eggs, though.
Yeah.
I have.
Do you are you getting any eggs out of her?
Yeah, I got two cartons upstairs.
Yeah, that's good.
I got more eggs than I know what to do with sometimes, so. That's why I say stuff like that, because people come like, I'm going to make dinner tonight with the eggs I got for my chicken.
Awesome.
So my lonely chicken, but she's fine. She's happy enough out there. It's a little hot for her last couple weeks.
Yeah.
She like comes and goes kind of a thing. But yeah, this year I've gotten quite a few. You could start telling that she's getting there though. She's slowly.
She's 4. How old is she?
I've had her for 4 years.
Okay.
But the guy I got her from had her for a few years before that.
Really?
So she's an old chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why we joke about, like, she was supposed to stop producing.
Mm-hmm.
When I got her, he said that she was basically done. But I think it was the life.
Yeah, maybe she's a little more relaxed.
Well, because she lived in a pen with 30 other chickens, basically, you know, in a big coop and run kind of thing. And probably didn't get as much one-on-one attention as she wants because chickens are very fickle critters sometimes. Yeah. So, but being here for the last few years, I mean, like I said, I've had her for 3 or 4 years now.
Yeah, I thought it was something like that.
Yeah. So, and she's done pretty good. Like I said, I don't know if she's going to stop laying soon or I don't know what's going to happen. Chicken was an experiment, so I'm figuring it out. But pretty interesting in itself.
Sounds fun. Mm-hmm. Wife's wanted some chickens, but then like the regulations put us in a really, really tight spot. And now that we put in a little cat run, chicken wouldn't survive.
Oh, yeah.
The one wouldn't care, probably. The other one would eat them. So.
What regulations did you guys have?
It's about like where you have to have the coop and stuff like that. There's just the way our yard is set up. Like we could not put the, it would have to basically be like in the dead center of the backyard.
Because it has to be X amount of distance from everything?
From homes or domiciles is how they put it. So.
Well, you should really talk to them about why there are chickens in the apartments downtown.
I didn't know that.
I'd been to a couple fire calls.
Yeah. Inside the apartment?
Inside. There's an apartment that is just chickens.
I don't know if it's a vertical measurement. It may only be horizontal.
Hmm.
So if they're 25 feet from somebody else's domicile.
Charlie, I'm going to touch you.
It might be really weird because they're also above a ristorante. So... Wow.
Well, I will not touch that one.
Yeah, I've been there and it was weird, so I didn't do anything about it either. I looked around and I was like, I don't know enough about this to be like,
yeah,
this is good, bad, or indifferent. So I was like, I'm done. I left. I was like, I'm done.
Yep, everything's calm, quiet. See you guys later.
Well, my answer was, this isn't currently on fire right now, so it's not my issue. My issue is what I'm actually here to deal with.
Yeah.
Been to a few rough ones lately, but it is what it is.
Sure.
I did get a hug from a guy. This is a weird one.
Yep, starts weird.
Yeah. We're large apartment garage fire, bunch of garages in a row,
mm-hmm.
and with whatever. For a big apartment complex, tons of garages. One of the garages started on fire. Obviously, the garages are all kind of built in the one stretch. So that garage is on fire. The one keep catching and running, going down the thing. We got there, knocked the fire out, whatever. And I'm like working through the attic above these garages and putting out fire. And I come down and I'm looking at this guy and I know him, and I finally figured out where I knew him from. He's another contractor that works through my work, and I'd seen him a couple times. We had chatted, you know, like in passing or whatever. Mm. And I'd seen him and I like looked at him and I was like, hey, and he saw me. He said, hi, after it took him a while to realize it was me. And I went on basically with what I had to do. I was there to fight a fire. But yeah, so like a week after that, I was at work and he saw me and he came over and he gave me a big hug. And he said, he's like, and everybody was looking at us. And I didn't have to say anything because I knew.
Because he was wearing a rainbow shirt?
No. Oh. No. But one of the other guys who was with me, who was training me, is like, what the hell? And he's like, this fucking guy saved my garage. He goes, he's like, my garage didn't burn down because this fucking guy had... nothing better to do on a weeknight after a long shift, right. You know,
sure.
than to top in a freaking fire truck and come down and fight a fire at my apartment building. And I was like, well, yeah, I was like, it happens. And, but he was appreciative. I don't run into a lot of people, but he you know,
because
they don't know who I am and I don't see him very often, but he very happy that we did what we did. It was nice.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Like I said, doesn't happen often that I run into anybody whose house I've saved or dog I've saved or anything like that.
Right.
It doesn't happen that often. Only get a few a year.
Sure, yeah.
You know, but every once in a while somebody notices you or remembers
you. Yeah.
Just happened to be.
From an awfully different look, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's what he said, because when I was in the gear, he didn't recognize who I was at all.
Right.
So I took my helmet off and my stuff, and he's like, oh, you know.
Right. Yeah.
And then, like I said, after we were all done, he realized that his garage didn't burn and all of his stuff didn't burn, and we were able to do something about it. He was very appreciative. That's what it's nice about it sometimes. But all right, we're gonna end up wrapping this up, and just want to do a shout out. Thank you to all the affiliates, Shooter Sports Center at shootersonline.com, Root River Archery at rootriverarchery.com, Remora Holsters, remoraholsters.com for the very best in concealed carry holsters. Check out Remora Holsters and Smokin' Blue Barbecue. If you are in the Northern Illinois, Southeastern Wisconsin area and you are looking for barbecue catering, check out Smokin' Blue Barbecue. Thank you guys very much for listening. We'll chat at you guys later. You want to say goodbye?
Yeah, goodbye. That's all I got.
Yeah. Goodbye, guys.